You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jumping on with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is my good friend Scott Jackson at Jackson Sports on X on Twitter. Scott is down in the Tidewater area as the afternoon show host on Sports Radio 94.1 FM from 3 to 7, doing a great job down there. You know, I reached out to you because Doc isn't done with his big board yet. He's still working on it.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm sure you've talked to him. I think he wants to just hold off until he's got the board done.
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing. He's a perfectionist, you know. He's probably just, you know, probably up to the day trying to figure out where to fit those seventh-round guys. And, of course, you know, he's all about the undrafted players, Kevin, the guys who didn't have air conditioning or a three-car garage growing up.
Yes. When we get to training camp, nobody does number 80 through number 90 at camp better than Walker. But I was listening to him with Chris Russell yesterday, and he was doing that thing, you know, where I'm not like you. You know, Chris started talking about draft scenarios and stuff, and he said, see, I can't even think like you. There's nothing about the way you think that is similar to the way I think. It just, he had me rolling yesterday. You tired of talking about this yet?
Yeah, man. I mean, when we got to the Top Golf being an offensive moment thing, I kind of just lost my mind, where I was like, what, you know, are you serious? I mean, it's just weird. And I got to worry about what an agent's emoji means, and, you know, somebody's parents, you know, are they an interferer and all this other garbage? Yeah. I mean, it is definitely, like the NFL, they just print money and they know what they're doing, all this stuff. But yeah, I mean, I would have been happy if they would have held the draft, you know, in the second week of April. I don't need to wait till the 25th.
Yeah. But everybody feels that way, and at the same time, we should thank our lucky stars for this. I mean, this is really good for us. It's interesting conversation. These are the debates when they're about the quarterbacks that everybody remembers pretty much where you stood or where people stood. Scott, I think part of, you know, a lot of the – you know, you just mentioned the top 30 or the mother out at Arizona State. And by the way, Herm Edwards got one of those, you know, stays, 5-year stays for college football. So did she, by the way, from Arizona State anyway. I think it all kind of is part of our collective PTSD as a fan base.
Oh, yes. Oh, look, there's a lot of this, you know, kind of memories of 2012, I think, too, for what's going on here this year, you know, with the quarterback thing, because we thought we had a really good one, and then they screwed it up, and there's probably some things that were there prior, you know, going into the draft they should have examined a little bit closer. No question. I think there's a lot of that going on, you know, and then, of course, you know, the reach pick the year they went with Haskins. I mean, you can go through it all, just all the misses and, you know, the changes of different offenses for poor Jason Campbell, the way they treated Patrick Ramsey was really not protecting him. And then, of course, going through what we went through last year with Sam Allen, in a sense, too, with this dysfunctional coaching staff that, you know, nobody was looking out for each other. It was the worst version of complimentary football in the history of football. You know, we acted like we were playing simulated games every week. You know, the way Rivera would talk after these games, it's like they didn't count. We're like, well, we're putting Sam in a lot of situations. I'm like, yeah, a lot of really crappy ones at that, but hey, whatever. I thought they were keeping score of these games, but it was weird. I mean, we've had a lot of weird scenarios, no question. I mean, this franchise, the Browns and the Bears, I mean, they're the worst at this.
Yeah, but it's a new day, and so I'll get to the quarterback preference for you and what you think they'll do, but I actually had Grant on the show last hour, and I asked him the same thing. And like him and like me, you're the same. You grew up here. You're a fan of the team and have been a lifelong fan of the team. I've been in a mode that we couldn't afford to be in, which is benefit of the doubt, you know, for the last 15, sure. 20 years. What kind of mode are you in? How willing are you to kind of sit back, you know, review, recap, be somewhat constructively critical for something that you have a problem with, but for the most part, be willing to sit back and allow Adam Peters and company to do it? Where are you when it comes to that kind of, you know, current mode in evaluating the franchise?
Yeah, no, I think you have to let them do that, absolutely. You got to see if it works. And, you know, I know there was, you know, a lot of this old school thought that they just blew it with this collective, you know, meeting with these quarterbacks. Then you hear somebody like Bill Belichick say, no, he did similar things like that. Maybe not with all the quarterbacks, but, you know, he explained it. And they did this in San Francisco as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's one particular way that always, you know, for sure works. And, you know, you hear a lot of people, you know, that have been in the league years back saying, oh, it's got to be like the Bill Walsh way. You can't have the GM talking to the owner, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, that's not true anymore. That's bull. I mean, it's not how it works. I mean, Belichick, you know, had the benefit of that, and he ran the ship into the beach. So, I mean, let's stop acting like they had all the answers. So, yeah, I think you have to give them time here. Somebody asked me like 3 weeks ago, well, if they blow this first pick with a quarterback, I mean, how many years does Adam Peters have after that? I'm like, whoa. I mean, like, can we see what the rest of the roster looks like before we do that? Because clearly, look, the 49ers blew the pick with Trey Lance, and then they were fortunate enough to have taken another quarterback who fit into their system. They had a great roster. And that's what it really is, right? Can you build the roster around whoever the quarterback is, whether you believe it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, and can the collective group of them be good enough to kind of go through some growing pains with the quarterback that maybe they have to put, you know, some training wheels on early on before they can completely trust them? And, you know, will the rest of the roster be able to compete every week and keep you in football games?
You've always had, I think, a really good sense of the media landscape, the reporter landscape out there, and I'm being serious, and opinions on who's good, who's good and who isn't.
Yeah.
Is there a person during this craziness of the last couple of months that's out there either providing opinion, hunch, or even quasi-reporting that you have leaned on as, yeah, I kind of trust that it's coming from him?
Yeah, I actually like Lewis Reddick a lot. I think, you know, he cuts out a lot of the other stuff. And I thought, because again, he had been in the scouting world. I've kind of been interested in what he's got to say about the quarterbacks. And in particular, because I was one of these people that was very uneasy early on watching Jaden Daniels, not because of his talent, because of his size, right? And the cartoonish hits that he's taken at LSU at times. And I was like, man, I don't know. And, you know, again, this is like, am I just kind of, you know, living in the past with Robert Griffin and that kind of thing? So that's what I was wondering. And then when he said when he went to the pro day and stood next to the guy, and then he talked about his frame and then obviously when he weighed in and all that stuff, he started gaining weight. Now, granted, he's weighed in after not playing football for several months, so that could be a little deceiving. But I will say this, I mean, the Commanders, of all the things that they get graded on every year, the one thing that has always been really good is the strength and conditioning program over the last several years. So, you know, you would assume they could they could work with this kid to put the right kind of weight on him, right, and the right kind of nutrition on him to keep his size up. But more importantly, can he slide and can he protect himself? And, you know, I think that kind of got my attention when it comes to the quarterbacks, I think, when I was, you know, going through all this stuff. Because I did feel like my gut feeling about May was, yeah, I like him, but, boy, I remember so many embarrassing North Carolina games this year that they were a part of that I was like, wow, how did they lose this game? You know, like, are you serious? I mean, I don't know. He didn't shine in some of the big games. I mean, and there's really, let's be honest, the ACC football, there ain't that many. And that kind of concerned me with him.
Didn't Riddick? I think Riddick's one of those. Orlovsky is as well, that thinks Jaden Daniels should be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. And actually, if you look at Orlads, those guys who've been doing it a long time, they've got Jaden Daniels as their number one quarterback ahead of Caleb Williams. There is a lot of people that are have Jaden Daniels that are doing this in front of Caleb Williams, which I find fascinating. Because for me, if you could just say, okay, you can have anybody, I would say Caleb Williams still. Maybe it's because of our upbringing. You know, maybe it's because of his locality. I don't know. I still remember the game when he was at Oklahoma and they threw him in there and he saved the day against Texas.
Right.
And I don't know. I've always liked him since then. I think he played with less last year, and USC just was terrible last year with the way things went. And of course, you know, well, the guy who's going to be in charge of the offense ran there was part of their offense last year. So I don't know what that says, but you know, it was a little unnerving there, but I don't know. He would have been the guy I'd be the most comfortable with. But since, you know, obviously that's over, which is interesting, right? The Bears, who have had a history of missing here, have really not even tried to hide it. It feels like for months here, they've been in on at least a good strong month, you know, since the combine. They're sold on Caleb Williams. So, you know, after it got to that point, that's when I started, you know, thinking about it. The McCarthy thing that came out of nowhere has been the most fascinating conversation to me, just because you didn't see him do a whole lot or asked to do a whole lot in college. And here's my real thing that I really like to see happen tomorrow night, Kevin. I'd like to see Adam Peters call Jim Harbaugh and call him on his bluff. Say, you really want McCarthy? You say he's the greatest quarterback in Michigan history. All you got to give us is Justin Herbert. We'll give you the second pick overall. We'll just do that, maybe figure out some other picks, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. By the way, down there in the 757, you know, other than Old Dominion field hockey, is this the number one? Is it? But seriously, is it the number one by far topic?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked tons of draft and mostly Commanders. You know, we got a lot of Navy down here, so obviously got a lot. We're having a draft party tomorrow night. I have 32 representatives here, fans that are fans of other teams that are showing up to this thing to pick for them, or if they're not having a first round pick, to be on standby to pick. So we're this big party. We got a wide amount of fan bases, but yeah, I mean, Washington, you know. By the way, down here they still go by the old name by most fans. Is really the team of choice.
All right, Scott Jackson's with us at Jackson Sports. Scott hosts on 94.1 FM down in the Tidewater area, 3 to 7 Eastern weekdays, Monday through Friday. So, who do you want them to pick? Who do you think they'll pick?
Well, I think they are going to pick the guy I think is the best pick, which is at this point is Jaden Daniels. I think they're going to go that way. I think all this noise last week, emojis, all aside, top golfing aside, I think he's going to be the guy. I don't necessarily think it's, you know, some of this stuff lately has been, well, he's the guy who can play tomorrow and win a game. I don't think that's why they're doing it. I think they think there's still some upside there. I just think they think he's the best overall guy, and sure seems to make sense for Kingsbury's system too.
So is there somebody, if they took him at 2, that you would be disappointed with?
I'd be really, excuse me, choking here. I'd be really surprised if they went in on the McCarthy thing.
Go ahead. Get your voice straight. It's I've been having the same issues today. you would be, so McCarthy would be the guy that you would be a bit skeptical with.
Yeah, definitely. Look, again, Harbaugh's saying all this stuff after the fact. It makes him look good. It makes them look good. That's great. Won a lot of games, sure. But you didn't ask him to do much. You didn't even let the guy audible. I mean, I got a hard time buying into all this stuff. And I'm sure they feel like there's something there with the smarts and things they could work with. And that's all fine. But, you know, there's also, you know, a lot of, like, unknown, I believe, with him that would seem like at 2 at least would be a reach. Now, if you were saying, oh, you're picking at 5 or 6 or something, okay, sure. But I think if you were picking him at 2, I define that to be a reach. I've kind of been skeptical of a lot of the McCarthy smoke for a while with him, you know, going as high as, you know, 2 or 3. I still think it's going to be, you know, either Daniels or May or Daniels, and then McCarthy after that.
What else do they have to get out of this draft?
Well, I mean, left tackle, clearly. I mean, because I like Cornelius Lucas, but I would hope that he'd just be available to play right tackle if that experiment continues to be shaky as it was in stretches last year with Wiley. And then I think you're looking at, you know, either corner and rush end still. Although some of those young guys they have in the DN position intrigue me still. I'd like to see them get a tight end too. I still think that's a question mark. I mean, I don't know how many games you're going to get out of Zach Ertz, you know, and I think he's still, if you could land a solid up and coming tight end, I think that would not be the worst thing either. If they could pull that off. But I think, to me, corner is after left tackle, which obviously it's quarterback, left tackle, and corner. I'm just not sure, you know, again, I hope to think that coaching is going to be a big help for Emmanuel Forbes this year. You know, Benjamin St. Juste has had stretches of good play, but, you know, just they need more playmakers back there.
How good was the hoops on Monday night?
That was very good. You talking about Monday night or last night?
No, Monday night. The Sixers-Knicks game, oh, yeah, followed by Nuggets-Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, last night was good because you finally had some road teams actually win some games. The finish with the Lakers was incredible. I mean, you know, I think Jamal Murray, did he finish either number one or one of the top underrated players in the NBA? And that's so true. And that was a huge shot. And just the, you know, the meltdown by the Lakers, to, you know, that one's got to sting. I mean, that one's got to sting for them because they had such a big lead. If they could have gotten that steal, maybe you believe that this could be a series. I don't really believe it is going to be a series now. Maybe they get an A game, but that was awesome. And then, you know, the Sixers kind of got to be kicking themselves in the butt a little bit. But, I mean, even if you just look at it, had the Sixers stole it, do you feel good about them moving forward? I mean, Embiid just, you know, even though he's putting up numbers, he just looks like he could break at any moment.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're in it for the long play, even if they were to get through this series. I mean, it's just like they're not going to be in this very long with him, you know, on one leg essentially.
Do you agree with me that LeBron right now is, from a skill standpoint, certainly from a shooting standpoint, playing the best basketball of his career?
Wow, best of his career. I think he's still, like, you know, if he were a free agent next year, for example, and you told me, you know, he was going to, you could pick a team like that's really bad, I think he would go there. Well, let's use the Wizards, for example. You put him on the Wizards next year, I think they'd be in the playoffs. I think he's that good. He could take a downtrodden team and make them relevant still, yes, at his age. I think that's how good he still is.
Who comes out of the West?
Yeah, he's got to get out of the West, right? If he got out of the West and came over somebody to the East, yeah. Now, if he went to a bottom feeder in the West, maybe it'd be a little bit more of a challenge. But he's still, he's still one of the most impactful players in the league, you know, on a night-in, night-out basis. At his age, Who comes out of the West? I still like the Nuggets. When they're playing, when they're not, like, goofing around and, like, bored or whatever it is they do at the beginning of these games, especially that first five they put out there, they played the best together. But I mean, they're vulnerable. There's no doubt. I mean, they could be beaten. But I'm not sure I trust Minnesota or, you know, whoever comes to that Dallas Clippers scenario. It's not a team I really would fear. You know, so I still think it's set up nicely for the Nuggets to get through the West.
All right, good job. Feel better. I will talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right,
choking.
Scott.
All right. See you later,
Scott. Yep, Scott Jackson, everybody. Afternoons at Sports Radio 94.1 FM in the Tidewater area, in the 757, 3 to 7 weekdays at Jackson Sports on X on Twitter. So today in Detroit, Jaden Daniels spoke again, and he was asked about the possibility of playing in Washington. We'll tell you what he said when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
April is winding down, which means time is running out on your opportunity to get a great deal from Window Nation. Buy two, get two free. That means you're paying half price on the windows with no payments and no interest for 2 full years. When you call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com and mention my name, Kevin Sheehan, you will get a free in-home estimate. Part of that free in-home estimate is Window Nation telling you which windows should be replaced and which windows are just fine. Many of you can't even decipher that. So it's worth the free in-home quote because you've got no obligation when they leave. Now, I think you'll be working with the best window company out there, providing the best product and an installation team with 10 years of experience or more. They'll be in and out of your home in a day or less, not to mention the quality of the product itself and the deal that you would be accessing right now, which is buy two, get two free, which is half price on your windows with no payments and no interest required and no interest charged for 2 full years. If you've been thinking about new windows, springtime is the time to change those windows. Let the fresh air come in. Close out the pollen and the bugs when you close that window and lower your energy bills. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Today in Detroit, where the draft is being taken, where the draft will happen tomorrow night, Jaden Daniels and Drake May, among others, were out working with Special Olympics athletes on a nearby field to downtown Detroit, and they took questions, or Jaden Daniels did, and Sam Fortier from the Washington Post transcribed the back and forth with Jaden Daniels. Here's some of it. There's speculation, the reporter asked, that you may not want to go to Washington. Do you want to just squash that? Jaden Daniels said, quote, I'm blessed to go wherever I'm called. Whoever calls my phone when the commissioner gets up and says my name, I'll be blessed, and they're going to get my all. Reporter followed up. To clarify, would you be okay being drafted by Washington? Jaden Daniels said, yeah, 100%. Sam Fortier also added, during the interview, Daniels repeatedly said he's not sure what to expect tomorrow night, but wants to go as high as possible. So that was Jaden Daniels today speaking to reporters in Detroit at a Special Olympics event. Ralph Vacchiano from Fox Sports, he covers the NFC East, just wrote the following. Where is it? Hold on. I had this is a bit repetitive from, I think, the report he had yesterday or the day before. But he wrote, the Washington Commanders are not going to be scared off by one little emoji. They still have 2 more days to decide for sure whether LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels will be their choice at number two. But this much about the Commanders' plans already clear. If Daniels is the quarterback they want, they'll take him, and they'll do it despite the social media stir created last week when Daniels' agent appeared to express his frustration with the team. One team source, okay, this is from Ralph Vacchiano, okay, one team source, a source says, and it's a team source, dismiss the controversy as, quote, just noise, closed quote, and insisted they have, quote, no indication at all, closed quote, that Daniels would be unhappy if he's taken by Washington. In fact, according to multiple sources, Ralph Vacchiano from Fox Sports reports, Commanders GM and Adam Peters, Commanders GM Adam Peters and Daniels' agent Ron Butler talked on the phone late last week and settled any lingering issues. Another team source told Ralph Vacchiano the whole flap was, quote, way overblown, and Daniels at number two is still very much in play. Vacchiano reports, as many have, many sources around the league are convinced that Daniels will be the Commanders' choice at number two. There was more. This from Todd McShay, who's not with ESPN anymore, right, Denton? He is. Is he doing draft evaluation on his own? Who's he doing it for?
Yeah, he's kind of just like a free agent roaming. He's on Ryan Russillo's podcast once a week leading up to the draft, so I think
okay.
That's about it.
Okay, so he was on, I guess, the Pardon My Take Barstool podcast yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. And he said about Washington at number two, quote, "Of the dozens of calls I made from January to now, GMs, personnel directors, scouts, there wasn't one person I've spoken to that believes Drake May should be drafted number two ahead of Jaden Daniels." That was from Todd McShay. You know, what's becoming clear is that Washington's going to take the pick that most people believe should be the pick at number two. You know, they're not going to be selecting Jaden Daniels at number two tomorrow night, and Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper on respective networks are going to talk about how they're totally shocked and that they reached. That's not going to happen. That might happen if J.J. McCarthy were picked at number two. But Washington's going to take the player that most of the expert opinion, so-called expert opinion, they're going to take the player that everybody in that group feels should be the second player picked in this draft. By the way, Scott Jackson mentioned Our Lads. You know, Our Lads, for those of you that don't know, it's a great resource for depth charts, both in, you know, in all sports, actually, but for the NFL, you know, they are constantly, every single day, a couple of times a day, are updating the depth chart. So if a player gets cut, they're off of it. If a player gets signed, they're signed. And it's just a really good resource to use to see, you know, who's on your team. Like when you pull up Washington's depth chart, it's all the players that are on the team, but they also have, you know, typically who's on free agent, you know, who's on injured reserve, who's on the practice squad, et cetera. But they also have a draft hub where a lot of their evaluators create mock drafts, and they just came out with what they call their top 32. Their top 32 players. And people have talked about the quarterbacks and where they rank, but not everybody has agreed, other than Caleb Williams, that the quarterbacks that come after Caleb Williams, no matter where they're drafted, would actually be in that position on a big board. I've seen Jaden Daniels and Drake May in the 20s on some big boards. But the Our Lads top 32 has Jaden Daniels the number one player in the entire draft, followed by Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and then Caleb Williams, followed by the way, Odunze, the receiver from Washington. How, Denton, as a college football fan, how do you have the receivers ranked? Because I think that would be a big part of the conversation if the quarterbacks weren't the dominant part of the conversation.
Yeah, I think you're right, because you got three guys that are awesome. I think all of them are going to be good in the NFL. I have recently become, I think I'm a Nabers guy. I think Nabers is probably my favorite of the group, but I do remember feeling the same way about Rome Odunze at the end of the college football season. But just in the interim, there are things about Malik Nabers that I have grown to love more and more. So I think Nabers is probably my one, and then Harrison and Odunze are 2-3, however you kind of want to stage that. I think all three of them are really good, though.
I really like Odunze. I love his size. I love his catch radius. I love his hands. I love the way he goes up and attacks a ball in the air. I do like Marvin Harrison as well. I do. I feel like what was shoved down our throats for the last year and a half, 2 years really, is that Marvin Harrison's going to be the most decorated, highly drafted, highly thought of wide receiver coming out since Jamar Chase or even before that. And we had Nabers and we had Odunze and we had, you know, others too that had phenomenal seasons. There are a lot of wide receivers in this draft. A lot. You know, Brian Thomas Jr., Jaden Daniels, other starting wide receiver. Texas has two of them. Xavier Worthy, who ran that ridiculous time. Adonai Mitchell, also from Texas. You know who's gaining a lot of steam right now is Ladd McConkey, the guy that was always kind of open and had great hands and was tough. I loved all season long Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Who are we forgetting? A guy like Keon Coleman, a guy like Xavier Leggett, two of the bigger, stronger receivers along with Marvin Harrison Jr. in the draft. Washington's got a couple of them that Michael Penix Jr. threw to, Jalen McMillan and Polk, both of those receivers. I loved both of those guys. A lot of receivers. What's the over-under on receivers in the first round? I thought I saw a number maybe yesterday, 7.5. Is that right?
Let me find the official. I mean, I don't know if you can bet that in most legal sports books, but I would have guessed it's at least 6.5 because there's going to be – you got to think, you're getting at least four, right? You're getting the top three. You're getting Brian Thomas Jr. You're probably going to get Troy Franklin. And then the conversation is, do you get a Keon Coleman? Do you get one of the guys from Texas, whether that be Worthy or Mitchell? You can kind of mix and match. I think Ladd McConkey has really skyrocketed up boards. You know, when he got to the Senior Bowl, I think he was projected as like a middle second round guy.
Right.
And it feels like now he's a bottom of the first round kind of guy. So his Senior Bowl performance was great. By the way, Roman Wilson, I watched a lot of his stuff at the Senior Bowl. It was nice to see him play football when his team was actually throwing.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Would have been interesting to see if they had let, you know, the quarterback of Michigan, his name's J.J. McCarthy, throw one pass at Penn State in the second half. To maybe Roman Wilson. That's still, to me, when it comes to J.J. McCarthy, I can't shake that. It is such an unusual occurrence. And it has to be somewhat indicative. Look, it may not be indicative of they were worried to let J.J. McCarthy throw it against Penn State's defense with, you know, a 14-9 lead or a 17-9 lead. It may have been much more about this is the right way to win the game. We'll just play field position because their quarterback, Aller, the freshman, can't possibly drive it against our defense. But you would have just thought at some point on third down, they would have let him try to throw it and move the sticks and keep the football rather than punt. I think tight end is another really interesting. Ben brought this up, I think, with us the other day, and I think he's right. You know, the tight end... there's not an official list of top 30 visits, but they did bring in the kid Jared Wiley from TCU. I'm pretty sure he was the one that they brought in. Brock Bowers is going to be picked in the first round. Ben Sinnott from K-State. Jatavion Sanders from Texas. Cade Stover from Ohio State. I love Stover. And Jared Wiley from TCU. And he's the guy that I think we know that they brought in.
Eric Hall was at Topgolf. The tight end from Iowa.
The Iowa kid.
Yeah.
True.
I love him. He's my, outside of Brock Bowers, I think Eric Hall is my favorite. One, because he was like the only offense that Iowa had. And two, he was the only offense that Iowa had.
And he's an Iowa tight end.
Yeah, they tend to work out pretty well in the NFL.
I'm just looking up his name, by the way, for people that are wondering. Eric All, A-L-L was the last name. And according to Drake May, he had the other really good golf swing at Top Golf. He at the, did he run? 6'4", 252 is what he weighed in. I don't see what he ran.
I don't think he ran because he's coming off an injury. That's one of the reasons he's mocked so low, because he only played like three games for Iowa, and he still led the team in a lot of offensive categories, which is great and embarrassing.
He only had 21 receptions last year.
Yeah, because he got hurt in week four.
Iowa, for those of you that don't know, one of the worst offensive Division I Power 5 teams we've ever seen, but dominant defensively. They got it. They got all the way to the Big Ten title game and then could not score against Michigan. I'm pretty sure it was a shutout. Okay. Yeah. 26-0. They got shut out in the Big Ten title game, and then 35-0 was the final in the bowl game against Tennessee. In college football, has anybody ever scored fewer points than Iowa, Power Five wise? In conference, they had to average less than 15 points a game.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has scored less than them since the invention of throwing the football.
They got shut out in one season four times. I'm sorry, that's not true. They had a shutout themselves. They got shut out three times in one season in college football. It's pretty hard to do, man, in college football. I did have Nebraska getting the points against them in that final game of the year. All right, a few more things to get to. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
Last night, Game 2 NHL playoffs, Capitals fall to the Rangers 4-3. Following the game, Spencer Carberry, the head coach, said of Alex Ovechkin, he looks a little bit off and he's struggling. Caps got a couple of days rest. They're back in D.C. for Game 3 Friday at 7. Nats lose to the Dodgers yesterday 4-1. Shohei Ohtani had a 450-foot bomb against the Nationals. They're back in action tonight at Nats Park. First pitch at 6:45. The Steelers are not picking up the fifth-year option of Justin Fields. Maybe a tad bit surprising, but not terribly surprising. What is not surprising at all is the Cincinnati Bengals are picking the fifth-year option up on Ja'Marr Chase. You could anticipate a long-term extension in the near future. And speaking of long-term extensions, Amon-Ra St. Brown staying with Detroit 40 years, $120 million, 77 of that guaranteed. And that's what's trending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Let me recommend a story to read today. Sam Fortier, Washington Post. We have Sam on the show all the time. He wrote a story titled, Quarterback Analysts Are Better Than Ever, But the Draft is a Different Beast. And he went out and talked to a bunch of former quarterbacks primarily, but not just former quarterbacks, who have evaluated quarterbacks and have done a lot of YouTube stuff, a lot of podcast stuff, a lot of analysis, and created, you know, significant followings, and yet the progress hasn't come along with it in terms of accuracy rate. It's just very hard. There is this from Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. It would be hard to point to the results and say we've made progress, as sad as that is. JT O'Sullivan, who had a cup of coffee in the NFL with teams like the Lions, etc., and has developed hundreds of thousands of followers with YouTube breakdowns of quarterbacks. He says, quote, I don't think we're getting closer. Selfishly, I'm probably further away than ever. The longer I do this, the less confident I have become. And then there are a couple of quotes in here from RG3. And I think they're, you know, instructive, because we talk about this a lot when we talk about football in general, and the idea that, you know, the advanced numbers are some sort of answer key for who played well, who didn't, who's going to play well, and who won't play well. It's just a different game, football is, than, say, baseball, where everything can be quantified. In football, 22 players, so many different systems, so many different responsibilities. It's really hard to quantify everything that's happening on the field. And RG3 says, quote, it's not about whether you played or not. It's that you have to be careful not to assume what the read was or where the ball should have gone, because no two systems in the NFL are exactly the same. And every coach teaches concepts differently. Using experience to say, this is what I was taught, is fair game. But to say without a shadow of a doubt that this is what the quarterback should have done isn't analysis. It's just uninformed opinion. Be aware of that, because in your journey to find the why of quarterback play, will avoid the potholes of groupthink and angry fan analysis. Yeah, that's the point. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter. Look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, honestly. Actually, the answer would be zero time with people that haven't really developed some sort of level of credibility in doing this. I say that, I'm sure we had somebody on the show for the last couple of months that maybe would qualify under not a lot of credibility in getting it right or you know, having the expertise to do this. But in terms of, you know, players that played or people who have been charged and paid for their analysis, whether they're a former GM or a former coach or a former scout, etc., or somebody, you know, even like Kuiper, who took it up as a hobby, but made it a career. It's too hard to know everything because you just don't know what the responsibilities on a given play were. And even if you do, many times it was the responsibility of somebody else, one of the other 11 players on the field, that created the result that maybe the quarterback's getting dinged for. It's really hard. And then the idea of taking that just as an analysis hit rate of quarterbacks that are currently playing in the NFL and then trying to, you know, take college quarterbacks and extrapolate what they will be like in NFL systems. Hard, man. Really hard. The hit rate on this thing will not be better than 50%. If there are six taken in the first round on Thursday night, four of them, more likely than not, will not be on the teams that drafted them 3 years from now. You know, we know, and I think we talked about yesterday, the results of the NFL draft in 2021, right? You had Trevor Lawrence, who's still with his team, but after the other day, Zach Wilson is not, Trey Lance is not, Justin Fields is not, and Mac Jones is not. All right, five quarterbacks taken in the top 15, and four of them, 3 years later, not even through their first full contract, are gone from the teams that picked them. And yet, it doesn't make sense not to pick one if you don't have one, because you're hopeful that you end up landing on somebody at least as good as Trevor Lawrence, at least Joe Burrow. Cincinnati got it right with Joe Burrow. You know, we would think Justin Herbert, it was, you know, a hit at this point for San Diego, for Los Angeles, excuse me. And then, you know, you're always searching for the big, big hit, which is somebody like Mahomes. So tomorrow night is going to be an interesting dilemma to a certain degree for Washington's new owner, Josh Harris. He owns the Philadelphia 76ers. They are home 7:30 tomorrow night, game three against the Knicks in a hotly contested series so far, a controversial series so far, so much so that the 76ers filed a grievance on the officiating in games one and two. So where will Josh Harris be tomorrow night? Will he be courtside in his normal seat at the Wells Fargo Center for game three? It's a playoff game. I mean, this is a playoff game. Or will he be where Washington is selecting its first round pick? Well, Scott Abraham from Channel 7 had the news. He has sources who have told him that Josh Harris will be with his Washington Commanders at team headquarters in Ashburn on Thursday night. I would imagine he's going to have a TV somewhere accessible to be watching the Sixers and the Knicks. I would hope that the sound will be down so that the volume of that sound doesn't impact anybody in the room. Or maybe he'll be in a room next door. Who knows? We will find out. We will find out what it looked like in the draft room with new owner Josh Harris and his beloved 76ers playing a massive game three tomorrow night against the Knicks in the first round of the NBA playoffs, while Washington is getting ready to make one of the most important picks in the history of the franchise. Not overstated. I wanted to mention and give some love to Denny Avdija, a player for the Wizards, who has actually become one of my favorite players and a player that I think just has a really big upside. And when I say big, not, you know, a dominant, you know, perennial all-star transformational player, but I do think he's got all-star potential. He averaged career highs this year in points, rebounds, assists, field goal percentage, three-point percentage. In the voting for the NBA's most improved player, won by Tyrese Maxey in Philadelphia. Close vote, by the way, with Kobe White in Chicago. He finished sixth. Avdija got 24 votes. He got one first-place vote, 5 second-place votes, and 4 third-place votes, and finished a point behind Knicks guard Jalen Brunson. So good for Denny Avdija. He was not in the final three, which got a ton of attention when the finalists were announced, and the actual winner was announced last night on the TNT pregame show with Ernie, Chuck, Shaq, and Kenny Smith. But Denny Avdija is a good player, and I do think he will be one of those players that will be around if Washington ever, through the draft, adds some superstar kind of talent and becomes a competitor, contender. You know, I think about this almost every year at this time of year because, as many of you know, I love the NBA playoffs. And I will admit that for a guy who loves college basketball and used to really love college basketball, I just personally now think the NBA, the playoff product, is the best basketball product there is. It's better, much better than the NCAA tournament, in my opinion. I never used to feel that way. I feel that way now. The NBA playoffs night in and night out produce stuff that just the quality and the level of play, but then the intensity and the way the games are played when you get to the playoffs, which are totally different than the regular season. I mean, no offense to March Madness, and I love March Madness, but it's just not even close. But Maryland basketball is still number one for me in terms of basketball product. But the NBA playoffs are great, and I think about this every time this time of year. It just sucks that we've had this dreadful NBA team for so long. A team that hasn't won 50 games since 1979. A team that hasn't been to the Eastern Conference Finals since 1979. A team that played its first Game 7 in 2017, at that point, in 38 seasons. They lost it to Boston. You know, there were a couple of those teams I enjoyed, but I still contend and have said this for years on this show or other shows, that if Ted ever was able to, along with Winger and Dawkins and company, build a legitimate championship-contending NBA team, you would see it rise to the level of a number two in this town that we've never seen. It would be massive. I'm not talking about what they had with Gortat and John and Bradley and Nene and Trevor Ariza, where they were, you know, a team that could win a series, maybe two. I'm talking about a legitimate star-driven, superstar-driven NBA contender. This time of year would be a big deal. I mean, if the Wizards 4 years from now are contending and they're playing a game three in the first round on the night of the NFL draft, it'll still be NFL draft one, but there will be a close two. Thanks to everybody who joined us on the show today. Grant Paulson was on with us. Scott Jackson was on with us. You heard from Jay Gruden in the show as well. Tomorrow, Joe Theismann will be on with us at 11. Craig Hoffman will join us from Detroit, and I'm sure we'll have more on the final day where we won't know who the quarterback is. Tomorrow's draft day. Gear up. Chris Russell next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.